you were to call up a travel agent to put together a pilgrimage, a package to the Holy Land, one of the sites that would no doubt be included in the itinerary would be the town of Tagba. Tagba is located on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee, and it is the site for the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, which we hear about in this morning's gospel. The earliest church that was built on that site dates back to the late 2nd century, 380 AD. They built the church over this large stone, which tradition has it is the place where Jesus put the loaves and the fishes as he was performing that tremendous miracle. 100 years later, in 480 AD, the church was expanded and they installed a number of mosaics to add to the beauty of the church. In fact, the mosaic that's on the cover of the bulletin today, this mosaic comes from the church in Tagba. It is located in the floor of the sanctuary, right in front of the altar. The story of the multiplication of the loaves today comes from the first part of the sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel. St. John's Gospel is a little different than the other three in the sense that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we have what are called the institution narrative. So we have the description of Jesus gathering with the apostles in the upper room, taking bread, taking wine. This is my body, this is my blood, a description of what Jesus did. There is no institution narrative in St. John's Gospel, because St. John wrote a little bit later, perhaps 98 AD, than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So John wasn't concerned about what to do. They were celebrating Mass. They knew what happened. John wasn't concerned so much about what Jesus did, but what it meant. What was the theology behind the Mass? And so John uses his Gospel, particularly this sixth chapter, to attempt to unfold for Christians the mystery of the Eucharist. And we see that in this story of the multiplication of the loaves. There are lots of Eucharistic overtones, which again would make sense because John has the Mass as part of his life and in his mind as he is writing these accounts. The Gospel begins by telling us that there was a large crowd attracted to Jesus. People were captivated by Jesus. They wanted to be near him. But when you think about it, coming to Mass is an extension of those 5,000 people who were captivated by Jesus. In fact, we hear reference to that in the third Eucharistic prayer, when the priest says, "You never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name." You and I come to Mass. We come to Mass today because we want to be near our Lord Jesus. The Gospel then says that Jesus went up on a mountain. Anytime we hear about a mountain in the Bible, we think about, or we're supposed to think about, a mountain as a place of encounter with God. Significant biblical events happen on a mountain. So, for example, the transfiguration of our Lord happened on Mount Tabor. On Mount Sinai, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. On Mount Carmel, Elijah put to shame the prophets of Baal in their pagan worship. Mountains, then, are places for meeting God. A God who condescends himself to meet us as we climb to be in communion with him. Mountains signal a meeting of the divinity with humanity. And in that sense, every Mass is a mountain of encounter, a sacred meeting between God and humanity. This cathedral church is a place of encounter with God. Our altar, that altar, upon that altar, we witness the union between heaven and earth, between God and man, which calls to mind for me that beautiful hymn written by St. Thomas Aquinas, Adoro Te Devote, in which we sing, God with hidden majesty lies in presence here. Isn't that beautiful? God with hidden majesty lies in presence here. Our gospel this morning tells us that when people were coming to Jesus, they were hungry. The crowd came to Jesus physically weakened, maybe feeling a little hypoglycemic. Their stomachs are growling. That hunger is symbolic of the hunger of the entire human race. Not just a physical hunger, but a spiritual hunger for life and purpose and meaning and joy. And we know what that's like. We in this crowd know what that's like to have those cravings. Some of us at this Mass may be craving for things like a deeper sense of peace in life, hungering for mercy or purpose, forgiveness, desiring that expression of unconditional love. And for all of that, we come to Jesus. And like the 5,000, we bring along with us a little bit of food. We come to Jesus with a tiny amount of bread and wine. And just as the loaves and the fishes were given to Jesus, at this Mass, the bread and wine are given to the priest who acts in the person of Jesus, in persona Christi, to transform it into food that will will sustain us, not physically, but that will sustain our spiritual hunger. That is the purpose, to feed our deep spiritual hunger, to satisfy our longing for divine intimacy, for true contentment, to be full of God's sacrificial love for us. I love being a priest, but I do miss something about my life as a layperson, and it was the ability to receive Holy Communion, to go back and to bury my face into my hands, and to experience God filling me with that intimacy, contentment, and to experience His sacrificial love. I can't do that because I'm doing other things around up here. And so there are other ways in which we as priests have to be conscientious about experiencing that fulfillment. The Mass proves to us that the only way we are truly satisfied is through the Lord. Too many people we know search for happiness in all of the wrong places, when in fact it is only Jesus and His real presence in the Eucharist that can truly fulfill our spiritual hunger. St. Thomas Aquinas said the great metaphor for the Eucharist is food for the journey. Jesus gives them food to eat in our gospel, and that gets them through to the next day. The Eucharist is spiritual food that nourishes us along the journey of our entire life, beginning when we're 7, for most of us, when we first receive our Lord in Holy Communion. That's why Eucharist is a day-to-day sacrament, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, on a daily basis. Here at the Cathedral, we have two opportunities, 6:30 and noon. Opportunities to receive the spiritual food that is so essential to our lives. Without that food, we cannot press on and grow in the spiritual life. We don't have sustenance for the journey. The Gospel concludes with Jesus commanding the apostles to gather up all of the fragments that are left over. And again, what do we do at Mass? The very same thing. When Holy Communion is finished, the distribution of Holy Communion is completed, the patens come to the altar, all of the fragments are gathered together, and then reverently placed in the tabernacle. We We do that for two reasons. We gather those fragments and reserve them for two reasons. One is adoration, so that we as Catholics can make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. We come and we pray before Mass. We know that He is there and we adore Him. The second reason is that those fragments, those hosts, many of them are taken to the sick, shut-ins, and those who are in the hospital. And as a matter of fact, some of them, even pieces of the host, are taken to those who are dying. The Church has a special word for that. It's called viaticum, food for the way, or food for the journey, as the dying person receives that spiritual food one last time as he or she journeys from this world into the next. I mentioned that image of the mosaic in Tagba that's on the front cover of the bulletin. And if you've ever been to a dentist's office that have those, when I was a kid they had those magazines that had puzzles on them, and you figured out what was wrong or what's missing or whatever, you circled it. There's something wrong with this. There's something wrong with this image. At least when I first saw it, I said to myself, there's something wrong with this. There were 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. We've got the 2 fish, but how many loaves? 4. And so when I was in Tagba on my trip to the Holy Land, I saw that in this mosaic in front of the altar, and I thought, oh gosh, isn't that what a tragedy that for centuries Christians have been visiting this church to see the multiplication of the loaves, and the artist got it wrong. He didn't bother reading the gospel. And then I went around to the back, and there were these pamphlets and explaining the theology of the mosaics, and I read the one about this, and I felt like an idiot. Because the artist was intentional in putting 4 pieces of bread here. He did it on purpose to pull out from St. John's Gospel that Eucharistic theology. He meant to point Christians forever to the reality that the 5th miraculous loaf, the 5th piece of miraculous bread, is not in the basket, it's on the altar. So that the image of the loaves points us to God in hidden majesty lying in presence here. It's beautiful. God in hidden majesty lies in presence here. That 5th miraculous piece is always on the altar for us, and we will witness that once again this morning. Again, God in hidden majesty lying in presence here. We thank Him for this great and miraculous gift, a gift which satisfies our deepest hungers and nourishes us along our journey to life eternal.